A golf course developer is fighting allegations it interfered with Aboriginal shell midden relics in Tasmania. Prosecutor Letitia Fox has told Hobart Magistrates Court a gravel road at the site slated for development by the Mary Ann Island Company had encroached on shell middens, the remains of meals once gathered and eaten by Aboriginal people there. But the developer's lawyers, Craig Mackey, has told the court the alleged disturbances were minimal at best and are open to dispute. He says the company had taken genuine steps to be respectful to Aboriginal heritage and had employed Indigenous people to carry out the weed management. Key changes to New South Wales tenancy laws will come into effect today, ending no grounds evictions and making it easier for renters to own pets. Premier Chris Minns says the reforms are sensible and bring the rental market into the 21st century. The changes have also been labelled a win for the economy, promising better prospects for young workers in one of the world's most expensive cities. From Monday, tenants will be able to apply for a pet, with owners only able to refuse the request for specific reasons, such as the owner living at the property. Owners and agents must also provide fee-free rent payment methods, such as direct bank transfers to renters. Queensland's Minister for Child Safety, Amanda Cam, has accused companies of profiting off of vulnerable children and making millions of dollars by exploiting a broken system. The government has launched an inquiry into the out-of-home care system after a report last year found almost a third of our children in care had unmet mental health needs. Ms. Cam claims some for-profit companies have received state funding but fail to meet the standards for providing residential care.
My department has commissioned a forensic audit into a for-profit provider that has delivered shareholder returns in excess of $5 million. That is a company profiting from vulnerable children. That is a company that has taken advantage of a broken system that has not had the oversight or accountability that I would expect as the minister.
A large shipment of fireworks bound for the Northern Territory's famed Cracker Night celebrations has been seized in New South Wales. Safe Work New South Wales has so far declined to authorise the transit of the explosives to the Top End, which Territorians are allowed to set off for a five-hour period on July 1st to mark the anniversary of self-government. The Northern Territory's Chief Minister has appealed to her New South Wales counterpart after being informed of the stalled shipment. It's understood the New South Wales government is willing to grant the necessary authorisations if South Australia and Queensland also agree, but South Australia says no one has asked them yet. Uncertainty surrounds the Reserve Bank of Australia's interest rate setting board as it meets for the first time since Donald Trump upended the global free trade system with his tariff announcements. The two-day meeting begins today, 19th of May. Two influential pieces of data released by the Australian Bureau of Statistics last week painted a clearer picture of labour market still going strong. Wage growth in Australia has increased to 3.4% over the past year, the first time wage has gone up since the June quarter of 2024. And the Reserve Bank's preferred measure of consumer prices has fallen within the central bank's target band for the first time in more than 3 years, dropping from 3.3% to 2.9%. A man in Sydney has been charged with 53 hate-related crimes, including allegedly spray-painting a Nazi symbol. The 21-year-old was arrested on Sunday morning. He was seen allegedly spray painting offensive graffiti in the Inner West over the stickers of First Nations and LGBTQ plus communities. The man is due to appear in local court in Newtown on Monday. Experts are warning the use of artificial intelligence in job recruitment could lead to the discrimination against minorities, including migrants. The Australian Responsible AI Index reports that in 2024, 62% of Australian organisations used AI in their recruitment process. Dr. Natalie Sheard from the University of Melbourne says this can create significant access barriers for some groups.
Older applicants, women, people who speak English as a second language. I heard of systems not being accessible to job seekers with disability. CV screening systems using things like gaps in employment history to screen candidates out. And having a gap in your employment history is a well-known proxy for gender, as women tend to have time out of the workforce to care for family.
The University of Sydney, University of New South Wales, academics and student groups are among stakeholders due to give evidence at the New South Wales Parliamentary Inquiry examining anti-Semitism on university campuses. One of the issues to be considered will be whether universities remained places of legitimate protest or sites for anti-Semitic activity. It will also examine anti-Semitic attacks in recent months, including graffiti sprayed on cars and homes and a firebombing of a childcare centre near a synagogue. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese meet global leaders on the sidelines of the inaugural mass of the Pope Leo, is that 16? 14 last week. Mr. Albanese will hold talks with the Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and possibly Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. He'll also sit down with European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen to discuss reviving a possible free trade agreement.
We're up for a deal, but not any deal at any price. We're up for a deal that's in Australia's national interest. The last time around, we weren't able to achieve breakthroughs on agriculture. I had a range of discussions with Ursula von der Leyen at that time, both in Europe but also at other forums, including at the G20. So we remain, it's not like the negotiations have to start at the beginning.
And in sport, in NRL, Laurie Daly has confirmed his side for the series opener of the State of Origin on Sunday, with Max King set to be making his debut. New South Wales powerhouse Payne Haas has been thrown into doubt for the opening game after being injured in Brisbane's loss to St George. Brian To'o and Zach Lomax have been named on the wings, and Latrell Mitchell and Stephen Critchin will play centres. Penrith's Isaiah Yeo will take over as captain. And for today's weather, for Monday 19th, Perth is partly cloudy at 25, Adelaide is sunny at 17, Melbourne is sunny at 15, Hobart is partly cloudy at 16, Canberra is partly cloudy at 15, Wollongong is seeing showers and easing over the day at 18. Sydney is much the same at 19. Newcastle is rain with possible heavy falls at 19. Brisbane is possible shower at 23. Cairns is sunny at 28. Darwin is mostly sunny at 30. And that's all we have for the news. Stay tuned for what comes up next. Victoria's Indigenous Truth-Telling Inquiry is expected to make more than 100 recommendations when it hands down its final report next month. The chair of the Yuruk Justice Commission, Auntie Eleanor Burke, made a landmark address at the Melbourne Press Club, where she looked back on some of the extraordinary evidence she had heard during the inquiry's hearings. She spoke out strongly against the state government's decision to repeal bail laws earlier this year that had been put in place after years of advocacy. She also argued the Commission's work had shown the importance of treaty.
These recommendations include significant reforms to broken systems and a range of practical solutions to the problems the government can implement now. Other recommendations will be suitable to be taken forward through the treaty process.
Rising star of Indigenous design is showcasing her work at Australian Fashion Week in Sydney. Yolngu designer Leandra has unveiled her latest collection at this year's event. Each garment is embedded with technology that tells the story behind the designs, no matter where they go. Reporter Bronte Charles went along to find out more.
It's a landmark moment here at Australian Fashion Week where Indigenous designer Leandra is not only showcasing fashion but reshaping how we share and protect culture through technology. Her label Leandra has just launched the first Indigenous collection embedded with blockchain and NFC technology, turning each garment into a living digital story. A small chip sewn into every piece links buyers to the design's cultural background, sustainability journey, and most importantly, the voice of its maker. And standing with me now is the woman behind it all. Sis, how do you feel to be here at Australian Fashion Week?
Oh, I feel really good. I think I've had a few people being like, oh, you're so calm and chill. But you know what? I have an incredible team that have worked so hard for the last couple of months to help bring my vision to life and creatively tease out some of those points. So I feel so excited.
And can you tell me how technology is transforming your designs this year?
Yes, so we've partnered with Own Authentical, who are an amazing tech company that authenticates. We're using them in a way to authenticate the brand and to enhance the way that we tell our story in a digital sense. But the silver lining to that is not only that we can have that communication with our customers because it's through NFC and blockchain, it certifies that when you're wearing and engaging with one of our pieces, now you know it's an authentic Leandra piece.
Each garment is ethically and sustainably made and now carries a verified digital record, ensuring that culture, authorship and integrity are always front and centre. It's a bold step forward in fashion where technology meets tradition. From Australian Fashion Week, Bronte Charles, NITV News.
Nam-based designer Juanita Page has staged her first solo show at Australian Fashion Week. The Gurung Gurung and South Sea Islander woman designs men's clothes, selling them under the label Joseph and James. She's a designer who has built her career on pushing the boundaries of traditional menswear. She says having a solo show allows her to tell the story through music and seating, as well as the clothes.
And I wanted to lean into the joy of being in these places of togetherness. And so Pops of Colour and the graphics of the butterfly on the back, which is like a nod to Social Butterfly, and then the graphics of I'm bored, want a cup of tea, cool, bye. Like those types of like airy, fun kind of things that add pops of fun and interest into the collection. I think those are my favourite.
Online and mobile, you're with NITV Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Narak Al Marumu, Body of the Mountain, is an experimental and collaborative exhibition coming up later on in Melbourne. And I speak with multiple artists who have been key players in the roles around the exhibition as artists, curators, curator artists, and taking on residencies. First, I speak with Gretel Taylor. She's a curator and dance performative artist. She talks about her work and the role that she plays putting on this exhibition. You're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Nari Pakai and we're speaking with Gretel Taylor, a featuring artist and curator at Body Place Project. They're presenting Narak Al Marumu, Body of the Mountain, an experimental exhibition featuring multiple artists. Thanks for yarning with us today, Gretel.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having us, Ngari.
Oh, good. I just want you to introduce yourself. I gave a little bit of you being an artist and a curator, but who are you?
Sure. I'm Gretel Taylor. I'm a non-Indigenous woman with a mix of European ancestries. I was born actually in Ferntree Gully in the foothills of the Dandenongs, which is Korowarabu in Woiwurrung language. I've lived in Nam and between there and the Dandenongs or Korowarabu for most of my life at different times on the lands of the Wurundjeri or Bunurong and Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation. I moved back actually as an adult to live in the Dandenongs in Kalorama, right up in the hills for 15 years until just recently. I'm now back in the north side suburbs of Nam for my daughter's high school, and I'm right on the train track. So if you hear trains in the background, that's why.
So you're a curator, part of this exhibition. What has been the process of putting this on?
Sure. Well, I'm a dancer and a curator, and I've got a strong interest, is a long-standing interest in place, doing art that is site responsive or place responsive. So my own practice of dancing in relation to place and sensing my environment wherever I am, I kind of asked many years ago, who the hell am I to be dancing here? And so I'm highly conscious of my presence as a woman of the white, privileged, colonising peoples, living and dancing upon unceded First Peoples country in so-called Australia. So with this exhibition, Body Place Project is this kind of independent platform that I founded to do these projects. And I've expanded it to a collective of local artists as well, with shared interest in place, performance and art, and that includes Gulshen Erza, Tammy Wong Hulbert and Lucky Sedaris. For this project, we were lucky to receive funding and able to invite some additional amazing artists to join us, including Wurundjeri traditional custodian Mandy Nicholson and performance art legend Jill Orr, sound artist Arti Jadu and local photographic artist Rebecca Murray. So Mandy and Gulshen are co-curating with me, Mandy particularly as a cultural advisor, really, and consultant. And I'm also presenting my own artwork in this exhibition in collaboration with my partner, photographer, filmmaker, Lucky Sedaris. So how did we bring it all together? It's actually, this exhibition is an outcome of a mobile residency we did last year, which was walking across the Dandenongs or Korowarabu. So this was all about walking country together and sharing our artistic practices about place. All of the artists that were invited to come along, although they're from very different kind of practices of art, they are all interested in place in one way or another. And we were kind of considering as we walked over 3 days across the some very steep slopes, what is it to listen to this country from our different embodied perspectives and to respond through our different practices. So this exhibition is sort of follow-up to that experience of that mobile residency. Yeah, we've all created artworks in the months since then that we're bringing together. As well as it being beautiful, it also had lots of realization of the fact that, well, country is way too dry up there. It's really, there's lots of, you know, kind of vulnerable aspects of the environment at this point in time in history. It's also quite volatile with climate change. I feel like the beauty of that experience also will weave through the exhibition and hopefully inspire people as well.
Your work that's curated into the show, the dance is underway. What is that? What are people going to see when they see your work?
Sure. It's called The Dance is Already Underway. And the idea with that work was to join in the dance of the place with the ecologies that exist and interact there already. So I did a sort of ridiculously epic durational performance for camera in a part of the forest that just off the path in Sherbrooke Forest. And I stayed there for 12 hours dancing in response to that environment and had a camera set up on a tripod to capture that experience. I also had Lucky come in and visit every few hours and take some handheld footage that's a bit more kind of immersive. So the artwork is, what you'll see in the gallery, is an edited version of like a short film created from some of that handheld footage that will be projected large. And there's also, as a kind of document of the 12-hour inhabitation, there's another screen with that whole 12 hours that I don't really expect anyone to see in its entirety. I'll put a beanbag there for anyone who wants to hang out with it for a while, but they're not even open for 12 hours at a time, this gallery. So,
12 hours is intense.
Yeah, it was quite intense. I did rest quite a lot. I mean, it's not all, you know, hardcore dancing.
As a curator, can you tell us about some of the other works? What are you particularly excited for audiences to come in and see or experience throughout the exhibition?
I am excited about all of it, really. The exhibition will feature like a large-scale painting along a whole wall, like a long wall of the gallery, by Mandy Nicholson. And she's going to do another segment with NITV Radio as well, so hopefully you'll hear about that more from her. There's also a Chinese-influenced textile work or series of works by Tammy Wong Holder, exploring her perspective as a Chinese-Australian artist living in the foothills of Curran Warrabool. She carried a backpack, actually, a sculpture as a backpack during the walk that she called her Wong ancestral home. So that action, and there's a large-scale photograph of her with that. So, that kind of drew her connection to this place that she now lives in and calls her home, together with her kind of ancestral memory back to her mountain home back in China. Rebecca Murray, she's another local artist. She's well known for her cyanotype photography using sun printing, which is that beautiful blue effect, handmade photography in, you know, sort of collaboration with the sun. So she's creating actually the largest work she's ever made by piecing together 21 hand-developed panels. Jill Orr is a performance art legend. She is a really renowned artist in Australia for going on 50 years, I'm amazed to say. She is in this work reflecting on the sort of passion and longing of environmental activism. That's going to be presented as photographic works and a sculpture, as well as performing at the opening. So if you can come along to the opening on Saturday, the 24th of May at 3 p.m. It goes till 5 p.m., but come early because the 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. is when we're all going to be. There'll be speeches, and Mandy Nicholson will do a welcome and a call to country, and Jill Orr will do a performance in the gallery, as well as NAM's own Wurundjeri women's dance group, Jiri Jiri.
It sounds like an incredibly intense and immersive experience that's going to be happening over the course of July, May, July. Is for anyone who's looking for information, where can they find you or find programming?
Sure. Well, it's all going up on websites sort of right now. So you can go to Burringer's website. But you could also email me at gretteltaylor@gmail.com or check out bodyplaceproject.com, and there'll be all of the details there.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and yarning with us and letting us know all about Body of the Mountain exhibition. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
That was Gretel Taylor. The exhibition by Body Place Project will be at Budinjar Gallery Upway. The exhibition will run from the 24th of May to 13th of July 2025. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
You're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Nari Pakai, speaking with contemporary artist Jill Orr. Body Place Project is presenting Narak Al Maram Yu, Body of the Mountain, an experimental exhibition in Naam, Melbourne. Thanks for coming and yarning with us, Jill.
Thank you. It's a thrill to be here.
So I just gave the tiniest of an intro, but can you introduce yourself? Who are you? Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Me, I am Jill Orr. I am a performance artist who really makes work from land, about land and environment. My mob, I grew up in Kyneton, Victoria, and I am now on Wurundjeri land, and I work on Wadawurrung land and in Ballarat. This project was pretty wild, actually, because Gretel Taylor and Gulson Olsa invited me to come on a residency, and the residency was set up as a walking tour in the Dandenongs, just outside of Melbourne, Naam. And we walked these incredible trails up across the mountains. And I'm really personally an open space kind of person and a river person. So it was pretty amazing being in this kind of leafy, ferny, sort of dark, but very beautiful, intense environment up in the hills. And so we got to, we went with Mandy Nicholson, who's an Indigenous person from the area, who's also an artist, who's going to be part of this show, plus a couple of other different artists who all, in one way or another, speak to embrace environmental and place-based work. So for me, anyway, you know what it's like out in the bush. You just, everything is electric and everything is awake and you sense things that otherwise you don't.
Mm.
And, that's kind of an amazing space to be in. And so, you know, all these amazing details and textures and smells and colours and animals. But we get to the top of this mountain and for me, probably, well, there's a lot of powerful moments, but the moment I finally rested on was the one you're at the top of this mountain and you look actually across suburban Melbourne and you look out into the Port Phillip Bay. So it covers a vast distance. And I thought, because I quite like being a big distance rather than a kind of small microcosm. So it's like, I thought, as the crow flies. So it's just, you know, the crow flying straight across to the sea, and yet, of course, what the crow flies over are the most different environments where, you know, built-up suburbia creatures and life has to adapt to living between concrete and traffic and roads. And then there's the Birrarung, which is the Yarra River, winding its way through. So I thought, I might try and connect a couple of those different places in the project that I'm going to present at Birrarung Cultural Centre with the others.
Your work, you just said, is as the crow flies, right?
Yes.
It has so many elements to it. What are the audience going to experience seeing your work?
Well, I'll probably experience a bit of a conundrum because you know how the crow's the messenger, kind of amazing, and when you hear one, you just hear millions of them. And you hear them for days and days. And yet in the work I'm presenting, there's no real straight line. So I did a kind of performance for the camera in a billabong really close to where I live, which is on the Banyule Flats. So when I was way up in the mountains, I could virtually see where the Banyule Flats were, being a crow flying over the Banyule Flats and going out to the sea. So I thought, so there's a couple of characters I did in this incredible billabong, which is partially full of water. I know it's flooded. When it floods, it just completely, you know, there's no access. And I've seen it when it's dry as a bone. So I know what the place, the water behaviour in that place does. So I became a hybrid bush bird. So we created a photographic image of that. And also, you know those traffic control folk and they have stopped low. So I became one of them as well. So there's two different characters.
Yeah.
And so the other image is about the traffic controller person, and she is just stuck knee-deep in water with the sign, and I can't remember if this image is a stop sign or the slow sign, but nevertheless, you kind of get what I mean, I think. I think it'll be a fairly easy image to get. So they're the images in a rough description, but also needing to connect back up to the mountain is I'm going to make this really large sculptural form out of limbs from trees and twigs and mud and bind it together as if it's a creature. And I know, because I've done this a million years ago, one of the first ever works I did was kind of a small-scale version of that. And when you leave the mud in it as a sculptural form bound into twigs, etc., over a period of time, of course, all the seeds in the mud start to grow grass or whatever seed is in there. So the whole, I'm hoping that this big sculptural crazy form I'm going to make will actually, over the period of the exhibition, start to grow. At the opening, there are going to be the Jiri Jiri dancers. Gretel will give a super brief overview about the whole show, including all the artists. And I'm going to do a kind of very small performance about this sculptural form that I'm making. So it kind of the live performance is not going to be very long at all, but just... I won't talk about that too much because it'll blow the surprise, but nevertheless, it will kind of connect all those various elements that I've chosen to put in.
It sounds like a very multifaceted piece of artwork where you've segmented it in those images, the sound, and then a sculpture too. What was it like in the process of this? Like, how do you feel making something so complex in all of its parts?
I feel excited by it because when I see these different connections that, in a way, words sometimes just can't connect it, but images or somehow can in a feeling way, and it's the feeling of connecting these quite disparate things will make sense in the space.
So you mentioned that it was part of this Walk on Country residency. What was it like being around with Mandy Nicholson and the other artists? What kind of connections did you make with each other?
Oh, it was beautiful, truly beautiful, because everyone sees and experiences life in their own unique way, and to share that just in being together and just in kind of yarning together, it was really special. To take time out of, you know, computers and craziness, it was enriching. That's what I think it was. It was really enriching, and I know the works that the others will make for this show will connect. There'll be a kind of subtle connection, and an overt connection came from that special connection with each other and the space and the place. Sometimes there are too many words. Sometimes you just have to go and see it. But other times, and I listen to the radio a lot, the words are evocative anyway. So I suppose this whole body place project and the work that we will all produce has come from like a non-verbal place. It's come from a place where we've each in our own unique way been open to this powerful planet we live on and this powerful country we live within. I think that imagination is a very underused muscle. And, you know, everyone works out and does their gym and does their whatever, but actually it's the imagination which is the pathway to the future. That experience was very restorative for the imagination muscle.
I love that. I love that you were all able to connect to country and connect to each other to create beautiful, awesome things.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, good. If anyone is seeking more information or looking to find you as an artist, where can we find you?
Jill Orr, which is JILLORR, Google Artist. My website comes up. My gallery is This is No Fantasy. Google them and that'll come up. And, of course, you're going to put up the details of the Body Place project,
yeah,
so we can connect to there as well.
I want to thank you so much for jumping on and telling us all about your art making, Jill.
You're so welcome. I'm honoured to be with you all.
That was Jill Orr. The exhibition by Body Place Project will be at Budinja Gallery, Upway. Will run from May to the 13th of July in 2025. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio.